would like to ask you to please turn in your Bibles tonight to 2 Kings. I would like to read from 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. I'd like to have a little more scripture reading than what we normally do as far as an introduction to the Word of God that we'll be looking at tonight. But in 2 Kings chapter 2, 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. Before we begin to endeavor to read from God's holy word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call upon thy great and holy name. And it is in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we come before thy throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. And Lord, there are so many that need thy help in different ways, and we ask you, Lord, to help, bless in every needed way. Be with all of those that are on the prayer list and those that have been mentioned audibly and in every other way, Lord, those that are on our hearts and minds that haven't been mentioned, and the unspoken prayer requests and all the different ones that stand in great need of thy help. We lift up our eyes to you, the source of our strength and our help, the one that we depend on, the one who is able to deliver and to help. And we come and ask you now to bless and help each of these. Pray that you would bless those that have special burdens and problems. Bless the families that are having trouble. Bless those with great serious sicknesses. We pray that you would be with them and help them and lift them and restore them to their health. Again, Lord, we pray that you would bless our nation, that you would have mercy on us, that you would help us as a body of people, especially thy church, as we have just sung the song, Onward Christian Soldiers. We pray, Lord, that we might be Christian soldiers, that we would be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, that the armor that we would put on would be that spiritual armor, and that the weapons of our warfare would not be carnal, but would be spiritual weapons, that you'd help us to be good soldiers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Pray that you'd bless us all with wisdom and understanding and knowledge to be able to do the things that you would have us to do. Guide us and direct us. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight. Again, now we pray thy blessings upon each individual and in this congregation tonight and each family that's represented. We pray your blessings upon each of them now and in the days and months and weeks ahead. You'd bless us all to walk as children of light to thy name's honor and glory. Bind us together with thy love. Keep us close to thee and close to each other. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our elder brother, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When we think of Old Testament men that were very, very close together, that is, they were very close spiritually, probably David and Jonathan are two of the men that we immediately think of that had a great love for God and a great love for each other. We think about many other men that had great love for each other, but one of the couples that are mentioned in the Old Testament that had a tremendous amount of love for each other are mentioned in 2 Kings when the Word of God talks about Elijah and Elisha. Now, those were great, both, they were both very great men of God. We'll read now from 2 Kings chapter 2. This is the passage that describes when they're going to be separated, and Elijah is going to be carried up to heaven by God in a miraculous way. He was only one of two men that never experienced natural death. Elijah was caught up in a whirlwind and went to heaven. So Elijah was no doubt a man that had pleased God in his life in many ways. But now Elisha was like his son. It would be much like in the New Testament, we think of the Apostle Paul, and who would you immediately think of in the New Testament that would be called Paul's son? Timothy, and especially Timothy, more so than Titus, but Timothy and Titus were men that Paul said he called them his son. And I think that Elijah would have called Elisha his son, and I think that Elisha had a tremendous respect and love for Elijah. Elijah, he had seen Elijah do all kinds of great works. He had seen the power of God working through Elijah in miraculous ways. You remember how Moses and Moses and his successor Joshua, they were able to perform miracles. And then Elijah and Elisha were able to perform miracles. Now reading from 2 Kings chapter 2, the Word of God says, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yes, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. That is, Elijah and Elisha are right at the Jordan River, and these 50 prophets are over there watching Elijah and Elisha. Verse 8 says, And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. Now, Elijah and Elisha, you see the picture there, they parted the water. Elijah has taken his mantle and folded it, and he struck the water, and the waters parted, and they walked through on dry ground. Verse 9 says, And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. You hear what he's asking for? He isn't asking for gold or silver. He's not asking for riches. He just says, in essence, what he's saying here, when he says, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me, he's asking that the same power that Elijah had, and that power came from God, he's saying, I'm asking that I have twice as much power. I want a double portion of the Spirit that's been on you. I want a double portion of that Spirit on me. And I would say very emphatically that he did not want that double portion of the Spirit so that he could glory or so that he could brag, but he wanted it to God's glory and not his own. Otherwise, God would not have done what he did for Elisha. He was so full of the Spirit of God and had been with Elijah and seen the Spirit of God working in his life. And he says, I want a double portion of thy Spirit to be upon me. Verse 10 says, And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken up from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Do you see the beautiful scene that takes place there? It's a marvelous and a wonderful thing. First of all, I would emphasize the love between Elijah and Elisha. The love that they had for each other. that Elijah felt like Elisha was his son, and Elisha felt like Elijah was his father. They had a tremendous love, and it was a spiritual love that those two men had for each other. But their love was not only for each other, but their primary love was for God. That was the thing that bound them together, was they both had a tremendous love for God. And as Elijah is carried up, and then Elisha picks up his mantle, and he begins to smite the water of the Jordan River, I want you to hear carefully the question that Elisha asked. He says, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And that's the thought that's on my heart tonight, is where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Now, in its context here, I think that what Elisha is asking, will I continue to see the power of God like I've been seeing in Elijah? Will I continue to see the power of God? Where is he? Is he going to be here right now as Elijah has been carried up to heaven? Is God going to be with me as he was with Elijah? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Didn't God answer that question without even opening his mouth? Because as he struck the waters, the Jordan River parted just as it had with Elijah. And in fact, as you go on and read the rest of the description of what happened in the life of Elisha, you'll find that in the life of Elisha, God performed more miracles and did more mighty works through Elisha than he even did in the life of Elijah. Now, brethren, that's not saying something small, because when you look at the life of Elijah, you'll see tremendous miracles that God performed through Elijah. You remember how Elijah prayed that it would not rain for 3.5 years. And for 3.5 years it did not rain. That's a mighty prayer. That prayer is mentioned in the New Testament. What a mighty thing it was that Elijah prayed for it not to rain for 3.5 years. And then at the end of that 3.5 years, he prayed that it would rain, and it did rain. And God heard the voice of Elijah and performed great miracles even out there in nature. That's the God of Elijah, is the one who can stop rain and the one who can send rain. That is the God of Elijah. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is the same question that Elisha asked himself, is where is the God of Elijah? Is the God of Elijah still on his throne today? Is the God of Elijah still around today? Is he still here? That's the question that we need to ask. Some of you remember 50 years ago. Brother David, do you remember 50 years ago and the power of the men of God in preaching the Word of God 50 years ago? Do you remember that among Primitive Baptists, I do not ever remember hearing a Primitive Baptist preacher stand in the pulpit to preach, but what it looked like that the power of God was on them, and they preached in power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. There was no doubt that God was with them. God would take men that had a third grade education, and they would preach in great power and demonstration of the Spirit. And formal education was not important to those men. They understood that the power was not in the wisdom of men or in the words of men. They understood that the power must come from God. And that's who they looked to, and that's who the churches looked to, for the power in the worship service and the power in preaching, it had to come from no one else but God. And that's who they went to and looked to for help. Where is the Lord God of Elijah today? Now my question is God the same today as he was 50 years ago? Is God the same today as he was 1,000 years ago, or 2,000 years ago, or 5,000 years ago? Is God the same today as when Elijah was walking the earth? Does God have the same power today that he had then? You remember Elijah on one occasion, when he was out there in the desert or by a brook, you remember when he was hungry, what did God do? God caused a raven to bring food to Elijah. Now that was a miraculous work of God. Can God still do that same thing today? Can God, does the God of heaven and earth, does He still have the same power today? And does God, and my question is, does God still do great works today? I believe that He does. I believe that God has performed many miracles. I believe that we have seen the hand of God. I believe we've seen the power of God. I don't believe that there's anybody in this building that can doubt the power of the God of heaven and earth. The same one who spoke this world into existence, God is still on His throne today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the one that was in the ship with those men when they thought they were going to drown, who walked out there and just said, "Peace, be still," and everything became calm as glass, that same God is on His throne today. God can stop storms from coming, or He can unleash storms on us. God can stop tornadoes, or He can send tornadoes. He can stop hurricanes, or He can send hurricanes. He directs the wind, brethren. The God of heaven and earth directs the wind whithersoever He will. Not only did Elijah, not only did he find that God fed him while he was out there by the brook Cherith, but you remember when the brook dried up, and by the way, who dried up that brook? God did. God dried up that brook. And when God dried up the brook, He sent Elijah to a widow woman's house, and He blessed that widow woman in a miraculous way. God. Now, some people might think that the power was in Elijah. I want you to remember and always know that Elijah nor any other man has the power to do anything without the blessings of God upon them. No one has ever performed any miracle, this miracle that Elijah and Elisha performed that is in this chapter of dividing the waters of Jordan. Those two men could not do that work. It was God who did the work. God is the one who performed the miracle. And the same God that performed these miracles is still on His throne today. God can still and does still perform miracles. Did you know God is still feeding people today? Were there quite a number of people here today that are not feeding themselves, and yet they're being fed? All those people that we hear from the nursing home, most of them have nothing. Most of them don't have a bank account. They don't have. Most of them are being fed. And you can think they're being fed by the government, but listen, brethren, God can dry up the government just like that, but still feed those people. The same God that fed the children of Israel while they were out there in the wilderness, I don't want anybody here to ever doubt the power of God. God's power. The question that Elisha asked is, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And what I want to tell you tonight is that the Lord God of Elijah is still on His throne tonight, and He's still working among His people today. And we need to be praising God because the same God still reigns today. We need to be giving Him glory and honor because He is real. He is real. He fed one man with a bird taking him food. He fed millions of the children of Israel while they were out there in the wilderness. He would just rain down manna from heaven. Brethren, that's the Lord God of Elijah. He's the Lord God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He is the Lord God of Adam. And He is the Lord God of Jesus Christ. And He is the Lord God of us today. Where is He? Where is He? He hasn't moved. He hasn't moved. He hasn't changed. Now, sometimes, and listen very carefully, sometimes the Lord God of Elijah and Elisha withdraws Himself and you can't find Him. I think that probably Elisha, if you had been Elisha, I've thought a lot about this. I think if I had been Elisha, well, I'll just tell you, when my daddy died, I got real scared. When Brother T.L. Crumpton died, I got real scared. I've watched some of our older preachers die, and when they died, I've been shaken because I had depended so much on them and called on them, and every time I had a question, it would just pick up the phone and dial them and ask questions. or go and sit down with them. There were five or six of those old preachers and I that every month we would get together to study and to pray every month. Those were wonderful times, but one by one, every one of those men have now gone home to be with the Lord. You know what happens every time when you have a father like that? Do you hear the cry? Do you hear the cry of Elisha when Elijah went up? What does he cry out? What were the words that he cried out? My father! My father! There went his father. There went his spiritual father. Paul says that you have many teachers, but you have not many fathers. Brethren, Elijah and Elisha were bound together like a father and a son. And when someone loses somebody that's like a father to them, when they lose a spiritual giant, they're going to begin to be afraid and say, where is God? I need to feel God's presence. And what a glorious thing it is when you cry out to the Lord and He proves to you and shows you, it wasn't that man, it was God. And that's what God showed to Elisha right there. It wasn't Elijah, it was me. And then God began to pour blessings out on Elisha over and over. And his life is blessed beyond what Elijah's life was blessed. Do you believe that you can still today experience blessings as great as what Elijah and Elisha experienced? Do you believe that God still can provide for you just like He did for Elijah and Elisha? Do you believe that God can still raise the dead? Let me say this. There are those that are spiritually dead right now that I believe with all of my heart that God can raise them from the dead. There are brothers and sisters in Christ that you and I know that unless God intervenes, they're gone. But I'm declaring to you that we ought to be praying for the Lord God of Elijah, to raise them back up. That we ought to be praying and calling upon the Lord God of Elijah, that just as Jesus spoke to that dead man Lazarus, who had been dead and laying in that tomb, and the Lord God of Elijah, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord God of Elijah just came and said, Lazarus, come forth! And he came forth. That's the Lord God of Elijah. That's the Lord God, Jesus Christ, who can just speak and it's done. He can speak death, or He can speak life. He can say it's over, or He can say revive. He can revive even America, as deplorable as the condition is in America. Where is the Lord God of America? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is the Lord God who blessed America to be what it once was? Where is the Lord God? Is He no longer on His throne? Can He not hear our prayers? Can He not deliver? He can, but the question is, will He? Will He? Now, there's some things that God's people have to do in order to find the Lord God of Elijah. Listen very carefully now. Elisha was a man that was loving God and loved the servant of God, didn't he? You know, every time, who are you reminded of when Elijah would say to Elisha, now, I'm fixing to go down to Jericho, you just wait here. And what did Elisha say? No, I'm going with you. And they would get down to Jericho and he says, now, okay, Elijah, you followed me this far, but now you just stay right here and I'm going to go on to the next place. And he says, no, I'm going to go with you there. And I'm going to follow you to the end of the earth. Who does that remind you of in the Scriptures? Ruth and Naomi. Yes, Ruth. Naomi told Ruth, you just stay here. I can't bring you forth another son. And Ruth said, whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy God shall be my God. Brethren, that was the great love of Ruth and Naomi. And you think about many other people in the Word of God that are like that they knew that they loved someone because the person was a very spiritual person. And they had seen the Spirit of God in that person's life. You know, in Isaiah chapter 6, you remember how the Scripture says, in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, the Scripture says, In the year that King Uzziah died, do you remember that? What now? How do you think Isaiah felt in the year that Uzziah died? He felt just like Elisha did when Elijah died. Here had been a great leader. It would be like if we had It would be like if God were to give us a president today. If God were to just intervene in some miraculous way and give us a president that loved God, feared God, a man like George Washington, a man like great men of God, some of our founding fathers that would stand up and say, now, this is what's right, and this is right, and our nation is going to follow this. Wouldn't that be wonderful to have that kind of a president? And God can do that today. But now what if he dies? See? What if he dies? And that's the question I'm asking you. What if he dies? Then what? Oh, sometimes we'll think, oh, all hope is lost. There's no way that we can ever survive without this man of God to lead us. Without him to do the things that he's been doing. What we need to remember is the Lord God is on his throne. Where is the Lord God? Well, when in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. To me, he had seen Uzziah as being a high and lifted up. I don't think he worshipped Uzziah. I think he felt the same way that Elisha did towards Elijah, and like Jonathan did towards David, and all the other great servants of God that had other men of God. Don't you know that when the Apostle Paul died, how do you think Timothy felt? Don't you know that when Moses died, all those people who had questioned him and everything else they did, you read the last chapter in the book of Deuteronomy, and when Moses died, all the people wept and wept and wept. What were they crying out? Much like Elisha did right here. My father, he's dead, he's gone. Well, then what do you need to know? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? I need you, Lord. I need you right now. I need you like I have never needed you before. I believe that Elisha needed God right now more than he had ever needed God any other time in his life. And so he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And God came down and visited Elisha. And the power of God was upon him, and he went forward and did far greater miracles than Elijah did in his life. He did receive a double portion of the Spirit that was on Elijah. Does God always show us his power? Does God always show us his power? Can God withhold his power? Can God hide himself? And when God hides himself, we might then cry out like we have never cried out before. The same question that Elisha did, we might then cry out, where is the Lord God of Elisha? Brethren, if God hides himself from our nation, if God removes his restraining grace from our nation, everybody in this building is going to be crying out, where is the Lord God? Where is the Lord God? Because we will have great difficulty finding him unless we have already been walking with him. Once God carries out his judgment on a nation, brethren, it's too late then to start running to God. But if you'll walk with God every day and you'll stay close to God like Elisha did, then no matter what happens and no matter who dies and no matter what happens to this government, God will be with you and God will be with your family. If you are staying close to the Lord God of Elijah. Where is the Lord? Job asked this question. Listen in Job 23 and verse 3. Listen to what Job. We don't have time to turn to all these scriptures, but I want to just listen. Job 23 and verse 3. Here's what Job said. Job chapter 23 and verse 3. The scripture says that Job said, oh, that I knew where I might find him. He had lost fellowship with God. He says, oh, that I knew where I might find him. Is that similar to what Elisha said when Elijah was taken up? Where is the Lord God? And that's what Job is saying here. In Job 23 and verse 2, he says, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Would you like to get close to God? You can get close to God, but there is only one way that you can find him. There's only one way that you can find the Lord and stay close to God. And I believe the answer to that is in Isaiah chapter 55. Please look in your Bibles at Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7. And I want you to know that there can come a time that you can seek the Lord and you will not be able to find Him. In Isaiah chapter 55, and we'll close with these two verses, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7, the Word of God says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." If we will return to the Lord now, and if we will seek the Lord now, then we can find the Lord God of Elijah. Jesus said, "Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you." Now, later in the book of Isaiah, and just listen in closing, Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. The question is asked there in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. The question is asked, "Behold," or the statement is made, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save." Now, why would people sometimes think the Lord's hand is shortened that it can't save? Because they can't see what? They don't see the Lord God of Elijah. And so they're saying, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And the Lord God of Elijah is not manifesting Himself. And God's answer to them is, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that He cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." We can, prior to God's judgment in our lives, we can repent and return to the Lord. But if we wait until God brings His judgment, then we cannot find the Lord. May God help us to seek the Lord while He may be found, is my prayer for Christ's sake.